Thanks for joining us. You can always catch the latest sermon online, but we sure would love to see you join us in person to celebrate and support each other in our love for God, our neighbors, and this church. We are South Britain Congregational Church. No matter who you are or where you are on life's journey, you are welcome here. And now, enjoy another great Sunday sermon, and we hope to see you soon.
Our second scripture reading is Psalm 23, and usually when I'm doing scripture reading, sometimes I'll use the NIV, different translations, but Psalm 23, I've got to use the New King James, because that's how I grew up remembering, actually in the King James, but the New King James kind of cleans it up a little bit, but I think the Psalm 23 sounds like the Psalm 23 when it's in the New King James English. The Lord is the shepherd of his people, a psalm of David. The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. He makes me to lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside the still waters. He restores my soul. He leads me in the paths of righteousness for his name's sake. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for you are with me. Your rod and your staff, they comfort me. You prepare a table before me in the presence of my enemies. You anoint my head with oil. My cup runs over. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. Timmy was a little five-year-old boy that his mom loved very much, and being a worrier, as mothers can be, she was concerned about him walking to school all by himself, and when he started kindergarten, she walked him to school the first few days, but one day he came home and said, "I can walk by myself. I want to be like the big boys." And not wanting to disappoint him, she decided to allow him to walk without her, but she had a plan B, a B, which consisted of recruiting a neighbor who was Mrs. Goodness, to repeat, you know, to kind of follow him, but at a distance just to make sure he got there. So she wanted him to do his own thing. So Mrs. Goodness was on board with this. She was up early with her own toddler and said, "I'd be happy to follow Timmy to school and make sure he gets there. And I'll bring Marcy along with me and we'll follow Timmy as he goes." And as the boys started walking to school and they're chatting and kicking stones and picking up twigs, the little friend of Timmy began to notice that a lady was following them every day. And he said, "Have you noticed that that lady follows us every day? And like, do you know her?" he asked Timmy. "Yeah, I know who she is," Timmy said. And he said, "Well, who is she?" "Oh, that's Shirley Goodnest." And it's like, "Shirley Goodnest, who's that? Why is she following us?" "Well," Timmy said, "every night my mom makes me say the 23rd Psalm, and she worries about me so much. And in the Psalm it says, Shirley Goodnest and Marcy will follow me all the days of my life. So I have to get used to it." See, we know this psalm, right? We've heard it. Probably a lot of you have it memorized, maybe part of confirmation or something like that. And when I think of this psalm, I like to envision David caring for his flock before he's a king, before any of this stuff in his life starts to happen. All the great stuff he does, all the great, not so great stuff that he does. Just a young guy out there in the field watching the sheep, pondering life, asking these big existential questions. We know that David was a man after God's own heart, so he knows what kind of heart God has. So he tells us in this famous psalm, not what God's heart is like, but the fact that God cares for his people. He looks around and what he does as a shepherd each day, and he says, "You know what? God is a lot like this in my life. You know, God is a lot like these kind of things to me every single day. Yahweh as the great shepherd." And that means that God, as the great shepherd, cares for us all. So as the sermon title today, God cares for all of you. One meaning is true, that God cares for everyone, everyone here, everyone in the world, all over. But there's another part. God cares for all of you. And what it means is God cares holistically about all of our well-being, about all the parts of our life. God cares for all the different aspects of you. The shepherd is more than a protector of the sheep, though that's part of it, but the shepherd is also a doctor, helping to give birth, a guide, all these different things, all these different parts of being a good shepherd. Shepherd is a lot of different things, and David in this prayer says God is the same kind of guide to us. I'm not sure who out there has studied psychology or likes it or is interested in it, But there are different parts that make up self-care. There's five actually dimensions that need to be in balance for us to be kind of holistically balanced, and that they actually spell the word spies, which is really easy to remember, and it is exciting, right? Spies. The spiritual, physical, intellectual, emotional, and social spies. And to come at this psalm a little differently, because whenever we have a psalm that we, a scripture we all know, we have to kind of come at it in a different way. This morning I want to look at the psalm as David describes a God who cares for us in all of these different ways, in a holistic way. Because God cared holistically before holistic care was a cool thing to do. So spies, and we start off with spiritual. God cares for our spiritual health. I can hear you out there and saying, well, duh, Pastor Malcolm, where it's God. Of course God cares for our spiritual health. As David puts it, he says, he leads me in paths of righteousness for his name's sake. God leads on the right paths. God wants us to make good choices in our life, our spiritual life. God can see clearly for miles ahead of us and knows what to avoid. God created us uniquely to be spiritual beings at the same time, made us all so different that it does not look the same for each of us. God is with us through thick and thin. God cares if we're feeling spiritually filled and wants us to seek spiritual nurture and refreshment. We need to seek Sabbath rest. We need to do the action that for each of us nourishes our souls, like to be outside or go for a walk, be in nature, spend time with family. Whatever feeds our souls, our spiritual side, anything that helps us feel more plugged into the divine, God says, do those things. The fact that you're here, that you're plugged into a community of faith, means you care for your spiritual health. And that is part of the work, our work as a church, is to provide ways to for people to nourish our spiritual health. Worship is supposed to do that. And if that's not the case, then we have to rethink what we're doing when we worship together, because that's the purpose of why we come. We come to plug in, to be re-energized. Because of this, we can do the same thing as David. We can say, I'll fear no evil, for you are with me. Your rod and your staff, they comfort me. The rod was the protective weapon. So if a predator, like a wolf or something, got too close, you could whack them on the head. That was the rod. So David is saying that for him, God protects him from spiritual things that come at him. And as we talked about, there's a system of evil in the world that doesn't want us to be whole. It doesn't like that we're plugged in. It doesn't like that we're spiritually filling ourselves. So God whaps those things with the rod on its head. And the other item, the staff, was a guiding staff. You know, it looks like the candy cane, like the crook. So to sweep up the sheep or guide them, kind of pull them back in. So God will guide us back to healthy spiritual things. One person here says, God, you know, God, get my attention. Hit me upside the head with a 2x4 if I need to, if you need to, because I know that you love me and I need to pay attention to what you have and what's in front of me. God gets our attention and guides us back gently and sometimes not so gently. But because God is loving and is the good shepherd, it's for our own good. God makes sure we're on the right path and protecting us as we do from the powers that want to lead us astray. And once again, that wonderful Lord's Prayer reiterates this idea for us. Lead me not into temptation. So God cares for all of us or all of you, and the spiritual is one aspect. And the next one is, remember spies, remember P? Physical. God cares for our physical health. God cares intimately about our physical health. He cares about what's going on from the big issues to the small. And we see this in verse 2. He says, he makes me lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside still waters. Not sure if you know this, but it's very, anybody spend any time with sheep? No hands are going up. It's really hard to get sheep to lie down. So someday, if you have any friends who own sheep, try this out and see if I'm right, because I am. A strange thing about sheep is that they will not lie down unless there are four things that are met. This is real. They must be free from all fear. There must be no tension within the flock, whatever size flock the sheep are a part of. There can be no tension. They must not be aggravated with flies or parasites. And they must be free from hunger. They will not lie down if they're hungry. We're similar to that, aren't we? Right? All those things, even the flies. No. We have a criteria that needs to be met for us to be at physical rest. Who out there says, if I have to get this done before I can rest? Right? Amen? Anybody? Yeah, right? Okay. We need to be free from fear. We need to be at peace with those around us. We're so busy that we don't give ourselves a chance. Rest is the most important thing that we can do for our health. And God leads us not to sterile, barren, heat-dried grass, but succulent green pastures. God wants for us the very best. When God takes us out to dinner, he wants us to order the filet mignon, right? He doesn't want us to like go cheap and get something. He wants us to get the very best. God cares that we're drinking enough water and eating well. David is describing in Hebrew the word that he uses there, the very best water holes that are kind of blocked off, that they're safe, they're calm. Maybe like with the pump rig in different spots, places that are hard to get down to. Maybe some of the spots are not like this is David's trying to describe. But for the sheep, the water needs to be flowing quietly because the fast currents make them nervous, makes it dangerous. God wants us to be physically healthy. God cares about our health, not just in the healing, but in caring for ourselves. In 1846, the former president, John Quincy Adams, had a stroke. And although he returned to Congress the following year, his health was clearly kind of failing. And Daniel Webster described his last meeting with Adams. Someone, a friend of his, came in and made a particular inquiry of his health. Adams answered, "I inhabit a weak, frail, decayed tenement, battered by the winds and broken upon by the storms. And from all I can learn, the landlord does not intend to repair." So we need to not neglect this aspect of our health. God cares about all of us, spiritual, physical, and the next one is intellectual. Now, I'm not saying God cares whether, as my people would say in Maine, if you're wicked smart. That's not what God's talking about in terms of intellectual health. But God wants us to be continually challenged intellectually. We're not balanced and whole when we're not continuing to push ourselves to learn new things. As Socrates says, the unexamined life is not worth living. God wants us to have good intellectual health. Our minds are a gift, and God cares how we're taking care of them. David puts it in terms of good things and mercy that will come if we're filling our minds with new ideas, with challenges. He says, "Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I shall dwell in the house of the Lord forever." That we can mentally choose to dwell with God, and God is a God of creativity and creation, and in his house does not mean just peace, but we live with him and live like him. Like when we stay with someone, we do as they do. We adapt to the house rules, and we're saying we want to live in God's house, and so we want to do the things that God does. And that helps bring us intellectual health. Whether it's baking, maybe we should take a break from baking, right? I see Pam, they're like, okay, yep, not baking. That's not... Whether it's baking, cooking, cross-stitching, lawn work, housework, trivia, cribbage, documentaries, books, I could go on and on. I'm not going to. Whatever it is, maybe it's taking online classes or joining Bible study. But God cares that we're intellectually filled, and that's part of being whole. So now we are on SPIE. God cares for our emotional health. David says simply that Yahweh, God restores my soul. Literally means bring back the vigor of life. God cares how we're feeling emotionally each day. God wants a status update from the moment we wake up throughout the whole day. How are you doing now? God wants to know if we're having a crummy day or if we're like that song from the 80s, Katrina and the Waves, we're walking on sunshine. God wants to know how we're doing. Too many times, brothers and sisters, I've heard people say that they're suffering from mental illness like depression, and actually yesterday was World Mental Health Day. That if you need to be, you know, if I was stronger or have a stronger faith, and I wouldn't feel this way. But God gives us medication, doctors, ways to help us, ways of taking care of ourselves. So it's not a question of faith. We know that, but we have to always remember this. We don't talk about it enough. We have a culture where there's a lot of sympathy for physical ailments, but when it comes to mental health, we're very far behind. We quickly dismiss it to a whole myriad of things. So when someone's truly depressed, you just need to focus on the good in your life, and that's when you're depressed, you don't feel like that. So we have to, as a church and as followers of Jesus, really like talk about these things and also be aware of such how important it is. When you're depressed, you can't hear those. When you're really depressed, you can't hear those things. So God cares about our emotional health, but sometimes God uses medicines, professionals to help us, and there's nothing at all wrong with that. David says, "God anoints my head with oil." Oil was used to show welcome. When you came to a house, they would anoint your head with oil. So God welcomes us and loves us no matter if our emotional tank is full, our emotional tank is zero. God wants us to be filled and welcome, and we as a church continue and need to continue to adopt that mentality. We have no idea a lot of time what's going on with people. So we have to always err on the side of grace, love, and caution. God cares so much about our emotional health that he personally has taken away the greatest thing that we all fear. Even in the psalm, he talks about death. Even though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I'll fear no evil. So even if we are in a deep, dark place, God is right next to us. There's no depth that we can go to that God is not with us. There's no darkness so deep that the light of God can't penetrate. So David says, God wants us to do things that bring us joy, that fill us with good emotion. These things might be similar to some of the spiritual filling or maybe all these other things. But, you know, do stuff that makes you laugh. Plus, you burn more calories smiling than you do frowning. Right? Everybody, did you know that? Okay, that's good. So that's really, you know, that helps you with your physical health as long and your emotional health. So SPI and finally S. God cares last about our social health, or not last, but certainly not least. God cares that we're interacting with each other. And in this time of COVID and all the distancing and all these things, it's become very different. We're learning what we've learned from science and psychology, the importance of being plugged in socially, that the lack of a social network can be very, very detrimental to our overall health. God knows this and wants for us to be plugged in, cares if we have friends. Now, we're all different. Myers-Briggs, you know, and Jungian things, there's introverts and extroverts, so it's not necessarily you have to be a social butterfly in order to be healthy socially. Some people have one, two very deep, great friends, and other people might have 12, you know, you have a dozen people who they say, this is my best friend. Every person they meet is their best friend. And that's okay. Everyone's different. But God wants that for us. God wants us, built us to be in community. As Judy Picoult says, I woke up one morning thinking about wolves and realized that wolf packs function as families. Everyone has a role, and if you act within the parameters of your role, the whole pack succeeds. And when that falls apart, so does the pack. We're like that too, that if we're not filled socially, we do not do as well in the world and in the situations God has placed us. The poet John Donne says, no man is an isle. And that is the gift that the church has to giving people social health. Anyone can be a part of this community. God cares so much about our interaction that even helps us by breaking down, you know, barriers with people who would be our enemies. We see this in the Psalms. He says, you prepare a table in the presence of my enemies. God makes a place for us, even with people that are our enemies or things that are hard for us. God wants us to be balanced, wants such abundance for us. And David says, my cup is super saturated. My cup overflows. God cares for all of you, each part of you. And the key in all of us is to trust and know that God is the great shepherd. And the main way to do this and to understand this and even to take a step towards this is to get to know this shepherd more. Charlton Heston, as we all know, was a popular actor. He passed away in 2008. He was the lead actor in several award-winning films, The Ten Commandments, El Cid, and Ben-Hur. During his prime in Hollywood, and, Reverend Billy Graham has also passed away. Is Billy Graham passed away? No. Yes, right? Anybody? Yes, I thought so. I didn't double check that. During his prime in Hollywood, Billy Graham was also a well-known evangelist, Billy Graham happened to be at the White House for this event at the same time that Charlton Heston was. And during the event, Charlton Heston was asked to recite the 23rd Psalm. He said, I'll do this on one condition, that when I'm done, Reverend Billy Graham will also recite the 23rd Psalm. I'm not sure why he did that. Billy Graham said, okay, you know, Charlton Heston, you recite it first, and then I'll recite it. So with that award-winning voice, like I've talked about before, I can't do my Charlton Heston, let my people go. With it, I guess I can do a little bit of a Charlton Heston voice. With his award-winning voice that earned him millions of dollars, Charlton Heston recited the 23rd Psalm with emotion. And, you know, can you imagine Charlton Heston, the Lord is my shepherd. I can't even do it. And the crowd applauds, and they're cheering, and they're like, wow, Charlton Heston just did the 23rd Psalm. How, you know, that was amazing. I can't believe I got to hear that. And then it was Billy Graham's turn. And with that voice that had, you know, God had used to reach so many millions of people, he recited the Psalm 23 in a similar manner to Charlton Heston. But the crowd didn't cheer. No one was cheering. No one was roaring. There was no standing ovation. But everyone started to cry. At the end of the event, a journalist went up to Charlton Heston and said, what's the difference? He said, "Sir, I know the 23rd Psalm by heart, but my friend, the Reverend Billy Graham, he knows the Shepherd by heart." So that's our goal. We need to know this great Shepherd by heart, be so filled to the brim as whole people in a relationship with the divine, with God, and with each other, that it just overflows into our lives. Amen.